Hello, I'm Taxation's web editor Daniel Selwood, and this is the first of what we hope will be a series of weekly podcasts on taxation.co.uk. I'm here with Taxation's editor Mike Truman, and we're going to take you through the forthcoming magazine, which will be on the streets on the 30th of September. Mike, what's first?
Well, I think the first of the articles is a comment article which I'm writing about a case called Patmore. And I've got to admit, I had missed this case more or less. We covered it very briefly, but I hadn't seen the significance of it. And I was at the CIOT residential conference last weekend, and Tim Good was talking about it. And it is a really rather weird case. It's a situation where the shares in a company are owned by the husband, or mostly by the husband, but they had originally been acquired on the basis of a loan that was made on the security of property to husband and wife. And you could argue about settlements and things like this, but the first-tier tribunal judge has come up with a really rather peculiar decision that this is a constructive trust. Wasn't argued by the revenue. Taxpayer wasn't even represented, so couldn't put an alternative point of view. And the reality of that is that you ought to be putting the dividends on both tax returns. I mean, it's a really weird case.
It's more than just a classic income shifting situation.
Well, it's a lot of the income shifting situation, but you'd have thought, we thought we knew where we were with those, with Arctic Systems. And certainly I know where the revenue were with this case. They thought that these weren't ordinary shares that the wife was being given. But the answer that has resulted from it is really very peculiar. So, I mean, you really need to read it because, frankly, at the moment, if you're putting in tax returns where this applies, and it will apply to a lot of husband and wife companies, then you ought to be putting in the white space that, you haven't applied Patmore. I mean, you can put, if you want, you haven't applied Patmore because you think the decision's rubbish and it's bound to be overturned. But it is a very odd decision.
Do you think it'll set a precedent in the same way as Arctic?
This is a weird one, you see. I mean, Arctic obviously has a Lord's decision, so it's a massive high-level precedent. The question here is whether the revenue are going to appeal it. They might not. The taxpayer probably isn't going to appeal it, you'd have thought. Probably not enough money involved, and anyway, he wasn't represented. So it might be one of those ones that just sits there on the books, worrying people, until something else comes along to say that it's not relevant. I mean, what I'd be hoping is that the revenue will say it's a case that's very much limited to its own facts, da-da-da-da-da, which is the way that they normally say, we know this case exists, we're not going to appeal this, but equally we're not going to apply it in most cases.
Okay, well that should hopefully provoke a few comments from users on the website. Moving through the pages, mm-hmm. The following article is by Mark McLaughlin.
Oh, Mark, yes, on ESC C16. Now, I mean, anyone who deals with companies will have used this extra statutory concession to get a company struck off, basically. I mean, you don't want to go through the whole process of liquidating the company because it costs a lot of money. So, provided you've got rid of all the trade and so on, you can generally go to the revenue, apply under ESC C16 to say that you're going to make a distribution of all the remaining assets, and it's going to be treated as capital. And the point is they'll treat it as capital rather than an income distribution. We're in this situation where for several years now we're trying to get rid of extra statutory concessions because we've been told you can't have them. And so they're trying to legislate it. And Mark has looked in some detail at the problems that they're having, and he's worried that the revenue might not actually be prepared to legislate this concession because they're worried about the possibilities for avoidance. Now, I mean, without that concession, you're going to have to put every company into liquidation if you want to get money out of it when it finally winds up. Awful lot of fees for no particularly good reason.
So this is definitely an article for any reader with corporate clients.
Absolutely. I mean, any corporate clients, effectively, because sooner or later the companies are going to be wound up.
The third article this week, something a little more friendly and cheerful. The tax implications of photoelectric panels by John Ward.
Yeah, I mean, this is, if you put solar panels on your roof and you're generating electricity, I mean, most people do it obviously for green reasons or to reduce their own fuel bills, but nowadays you can actually feed that electricity back into the grid and get paid for it. So what are the tax implications? I mean, essentially, if you're mostly doing it for private use, you don't get charged a tax on the income that you're creating. But of course, as soon as you've got any business implications in this, as soon as you've got someone who is running a business, or maybe you're putting it on the roof of a business, bed and breakfast business, something like that, then you've got tax implications. You've got direct tax implications, and also potentially some VAT ones. What I think is really clever in this article, actually, is that John's obviously done some work on this. There's quite a cost in putting these things in, and generally speaking, everyone complains that it's a high cost initially, it takes quite a while to get the money back. If this is being done for a business, and it's a comparatively sort of lifestyle type business, it may well be that the capital allowances you can claim for putting these on allow you to make a tax credit claim, which effectively sort of helps you pay for it. So that's really quite an interesting approach.
Very good. And finally, we have John Woolley.
Yeah, John Woolley on inheritance tax. Because we've got the possibility of DOTAS, disclosure of tax avoidance schemes, being extended now to inheritance tax, the query is, you know, does that mean that every single inheritance tax planning exercise that you do, you've got to report? The answer obviously is no. What the revenue want to know about are things that are new, things that they don't already understand. So there's a bit about that, and then John also goes through quite neatly the advantages and the disadvantages of discounted gift trusts and loan trusts, which are those are the basic ways that people tend to use for sort of straightforward inheritance tax planning. So it's an article for the more experienced to look at in terms of considering whether DOTAS is going to apply, but it's also one you can pass down to juniors for that first bit of tax planning, if you like, first introduction to it.
Okay, before we conclude, I should point out that all the rumbling and whistling is actually coming from the weather outside rather than anybody in here.
That's even though we've just had donuts, which were really very nice.
And I'd like to give an honourable mention to Meeting Points, which makes a comeback. And where are we reporting from this week?
This was the Tax Aid Conference. Rebecca Cave is reporting on the last Tax Aid Conference. And we'll also have a little plug in there for the next one, obviously one of our favourite charities, Tax Aid.
Smashing. Well, thanks very much, Mike. And we hope this has proved useful and that you will listen again.
And we'll see you again next week.